Welcome to Ballistic Radio. Join us as we discuss hard-won self-defense lessons, as well as the information you need to survive a violent encounter. Listen as armed professionals, industry experts, national champions, and gunfight survivors help answer all your firearms and self-defense questions while exploring your rights and responsibilities as an armed citizen. Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Daniel Defense, the country's leading manufacturer of AR rifles and accessories. Daniel Defense, lighter, stronger, better. And now, here is your host, John Johnston.
Welcome to Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Daniel Defense, the country's leading manufacturer of AR rifles and accessories. Daniel Defense, lighter, stronger, better. I'm your host, John Johnston. Remember, you can always listen to past shows at ballisticradio.com. Get the latest behind-the-scenes info, arguments, photos, videos, and, I don't know, memes? Memes.
Dank memes.
So hood. At facebook.com/ballisticradio. Coasting with me, Jack!
Yay!
How's it going, Jack?
I had to switch from IWB to OWB during the holidays, so pretty good.
As God is my witness, I thought turkeys could fly.
I always watch that every Thanksgiving.
So what a lot of people don't realize is that we actually broadcast the show from the radio station that WKRP in Cincinnati was based off of. So I have like a small, you know, connection with that. But we got an awesome show tonight with Paul Sharp. Going to be talking about, I don't know, I haven't decided yet. But before that, you know what, Jack?
What's that, John?
This segment brought to you by Tactical Night Vision Company. The night is dark and full of terrors. Or at least, it used to be. But now we have the technology to fight the night. And TNVC is your one-stop shop for all your dark fighting needs. From the TNV PVS-14 Night Vision Goggle to the Air Patrol Thermal Monocular and everything in between, TNVC can outfit your defense against the dark arts. Doesn't matter if it's your lost keys, the enemy, or a little kid from down the street that likes to wander off. I don't know what his problem is. TNVC has what you need to find things in the dark. TNVC now with financing. Own or finance the night. And it's a live show, so if I mess up, it goes out. We've been doing a lot of recorded shows lately because I've been traveling a lot. But anyway, joining us, Paul Sharp. Paul, how's it going, man?
Good, man. How are you doing?
Oh, I can't complain. Living the dream or something like that.
Right.
So I feel like I just saw you a week ago. How you been?
Yeah, that's kind of wild, huh? It's like you were just here.
I know.
And, enemy territory. But, I've been doing pretty good, man. I had a good time at your class, really enjoyed myself, learned a lot. And since that time, just been kind of training and gearing up and getting ready to get going again.
Well, I don't think I taught you that much, Paul. You already knew how to, like, really eat the grape jelly-filled donuts with, like, the unicorn sprinkles on top. But I appreciate you throwing me that bone on you know, live radio. It does make me feel good. So, for those that don't know who you are, which, if they listen to the show with any regularity, they should, can you say who you are, what you do, and we'll go from there?
Sure. I'm Paul Sharp, and I work as a police officer, and I do some training for martial arts stuff. I run a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and mixed martial arts gym called a Straight Blast Gym, and I run one of them, not all of them, and I do some firearms instruction, and mostly I'm just kind of like a student, man. I just try to keep learning every day and learning something new and meeting cool people. So that's pretty much it. I'm a Scorpio. I like walks on the beach and all that good stuff. And other than that, man,
that's why we get along so well. And
you're right.
So it's funny because almost every single time I have you on the show, I get an email afterwards be like, are you guys funny for each other? Because you sound like you like each other a lot. No lie. It's happened a couple of times. Go ahead, Jack.
I mean, most of them are from me, but, you know.
Oh.
Exactly. This is from Jack asking for a friend.
Yeah, right?
I
didn't really prep you at all for what I wanted to talk about tonight, because honestly, I didn't know, because, you know, planning, why would I do that?
Right.
I guess my question for you, or what I want to start with, is, when, let's say people are first getting started in this, they're taking an interest in self-defense or concealed carry or whatever, what do you think is a good place to start, and what should people maybe be thinking about that is not immediately like common sense, or what do you think that folks should concentrate on that maybe they're not going to think to concentrate on?
I think the biggest thing is, and it was kind of difficult for me to understand or realize, is the context. So first we have to understand the context. Like, what am I going to be doing most frequently or most often? And then go from there. It's kind of like the Tom Gibbons question of, you know, where am I, what am I doing, and who's around me?
Right.
And I think once we can kind of start to answer that question, then we can begin to figure out, well, how should I be training? And which kind of leads in, it's like a chicken and egg type thing.
Yeah.
And because it's kind of like, well, I didn't know how much I didn't know until I started training. And then when I started training, then I realized, oh man, I don't know, you know, so many things. And there's like this whole world out there. And so you end up kind of going down some rabbit holes for a little while until you figure it out. And I don't know that anybody's really cracked the code on how to get that across to a totally new person yet. But
yeah.
I think, you know, and, you know, I'd like to hear your thoughts on it too, but I think first would be safety, you know, how to safely handle the pistol. So like your basic safety type course would be probably the first step.
Right.
That if I could go back and do it over, I would have done that, you know, because I kind of jumped right into, well, here's a shooting course type thing. Because I wrongfully assumed I knew more than I did.
Yeah,
and so I was like, I don't need that because I'm too good for that type thing, you know, which is like, you know, and then I had my rude awakening. So, you know, I think like something like that to begin with. And then maybe, you know, after your basic concealed carry stuff, find one of the guys out there that's teaching some defensive oriented skills that fit your context, you know, and, you know, not just to stroke you guys, but like the class we just did with you with the armed parent coursework. Like, I don't think about that stuff,
yeah.
You know, but if I was, you know, walking around with my kids, I probably should be thinking about that and looking for somebody like you and Melody to take me through that coursework, because what am I most likely to run into a bad guy? And what would be the worst case scenario for me would be, you know, running into a bad guy with my kids in tow. So let me figure that problem out.
Well, I appreciate that, number one, man, very much. Going back to my thoughts on it, as far as like the context goes, and that's kind of my big push lately, I would even argue that, you know, as instructors, and I'm not singling anyone out, but I'm just saying, and this is a very broad brush statement, so I apologize, but a lot of instructors, not all, but a lot, don't even consider the context of where they're from and how it's affecting what they're teaching to people that are not where they're from. I don't know if that makes sense or not.
Sure.
But yeah, I don't know. Go ahead.
You mean like their background? Like, you say a guy that's like his entire career has been SWAT, or a guy whose entire career has been like a special operations, or that kind of thing. And so
yeah.
Where he comes from, he's got a totally different mindset. You know, and that's understandable, you know. Like with your class over the weekend, and I just was talking about this with Les, Chris Martoni, the maker of the pepperoni Beretta site.
Yeah.
But, you know, we were just, you know, talking about it a little bit, and it's one of those things where you sit there and you go, well, I've never thought about this.
Mm-hmm.
And why haven't I ever thought about this? Well, I never had to.
Yeah.
You know, so I've never thought about, you know, like if I get into a situation in a parking lot or parking garage or whatever with my kids in tow, you know, I mean, I've dealt with those situations in the past, but not anytime recently. And so for me, you know, that kind of thought process is, I don't want to say beyond, you know, my abilities, but it's just not something that's readily available. That parking space isn't available right away, you know.
Right.
So, you know, so I think there's something to that. You know, my background doesn't prepare me to be a good instructor in that material.
Well,
you know,
and so we got to go to break in like 15 seconds. So we'll get into this and move on too. But, you know, I think that's pretty common amongst a lot of different people. So, and I don't think I've figured out any secret sauce. Anyway, we got to go to break. We're talking with Paul Sharp. You're listening to Ballistic Radio. Welcome back to Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Daniel Defense, the country's leading manufacturer of air rifles and accessories. Daniel Defense, lighter, stronger, better. This segment brought to you by Sig Sauer, now with more options. We're not all the same, and our carry gun shouldn't have to be either. Sig Sauer gives you choices, and with more models than the Bible's got Psalms, it's never been easier to find a Sig Sauer that fits your needs. From the extremely versatile Striker-fired P320 with modular grip frame, to the Legion Series P226, the single-stack P225A1, or the entry-level SP2022, Sig Sauer makes a model that's right for you. Just don't ask for a Callahan full-bore auto-lock. They don't make that yet. Sig Sauer, when it counts. So we're talking with Paul Sharp, and I had to interrupt him to pay for the show, which I apologize for, Paul. Before the break, we were talking about context a little bit. And I don't know where the quote originates from. I mean, I've heard it all over, but we're all like, we're all caged in our own experience, you know,
right.
and you know, something that I've tried to do, and I mean, you know, who am I, but, is really sort of understand, you know, why people are saying what they're saying, where they're coming from when they say it, and when it does and doesn't apply to other situations, you know.
Sure.
But as far as like the safety course goes, when you say you would take a, you know, if you were just getting started in this and you would take a safety course before you took anything else, let me ask you this. Do you think most basic firearm safety classes are giving you what you need to actually work around people with a gun?
No. I don't think so. I think that would come later.
Okay.
I was thinking more of just like your basic rules of safety, how to store the firearm, how to handle the firearm safely, and all that kind of stuff, and have that just drilled into your consciousness so that muzzle awareness and muzzle control and all that stuff is just kind of a natural thing that happens when you pick the weapon up and start handling it. You are consciously aware of the muzzle direction because that was your very first lesson.
Yeah.
So, and I mean, in a focused format, not just, you know, like we all have sat through the general firearm safety lecture that begins every course.
Right.
But I was thinking more of like, hey, like a 4-hour or an 8-hour course, you know, I think the NRA still has that, right, where they do the safety course. And
yeah.
Basically just kind of your intro to the weapon and how to be safe about it. And I think most gun shops have those. I know the ones near me have a firearm safety course that they put folks through.
Yeah.
And so, but yeah, no, I don't think that prepares you for the reality of now beginning to move around other people or handle a firearm in a defensive incident at all.
Okay. So let's say you've hopped over, well, not hopped over, but you've powered through your basic firearm safety class, and for a lot of people, that's also their concealed carry class, because
right.
You know, most of the states that I'm aware of, at least the ones around here, are, you know, either an 8-hour or 12-hour class, and that's essentially what it is the NRA basic safety course. But let's say they've gotten through that, you know, what next? I mean, training, gear, what should folks be thinking about?
Training.
Okay.
I would look at training because training's going to drive the gear train,
mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, the old saying about, you know, the situation is going to dictate tactics will dictate the technique, and then technique will dictate your gear selection. And so for a guy or a girl that's going to be moving, carrying the pistol in a defensive role, you know, as a concealed carry person, I think training is going to save them a lot of money in the long term. And Brownells or whomever is probably going to hate anybody that says that, but
right.
It's, you know, guys, first thing you do is you get on the internet and look for gear, you know, and it's like, no, dude, look for a class near you by a reputable trainer and take that class and then have input from those guys, the trainer, and sometimes even other guys in the class that are knowledgeable, they'll have some good input for you as far as gear selection and that kind of thing, and then go from there. But I always, you know, my default is training first and then let that drive your gear selection.
Well, and it's funny, too, because you brought this up in passing, but I actually think it's worth noting. You know, you made a joke about, I'm sure Brownells would hate to hear that or whatever, but a lot of the, you know, the larger manufacturers, and you know, I'll do this because why not, you know, like some of the ones that even sponsor my show are all about educating people at this point, you know, in ways to use their product or all that, because a more educated buyer seems to be more interested in quality, quality stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. You're going to end up buying more high-end stuff because you understand it's more durable and it's more purpose-built.
Right.
You know, if you buy a holster that's designed for 8 different pistols and they market it as such, it's probably not a good holster.
Right.
You know, you probably shouldn't be using it for whatever. But, I agree, man. I think most of the manufacturers, and I'm associated more with kind of like the one-man shop or one-woman shop.
Yeah.
Type places, you know, and those guys are all very purpose-driven, quality control-oriented, and they want to make something that you're going to be happy with, and it's going to serve your purposes. So, and the only way you know that is to train,
yeah.
You know, and so train, man, always train first. You know, it's like the old saying from judo, the way is in training. So the more you train, the more you learn about what you should do or should or should not be buying and spending your money on.
Yeah. So let me ask you this for... And we'll do this for civilian context. So people that are interested in concealed carry, what are some problems that they should think about beforehand, like problems that they may need to solve? And the for people listening, the reason why I'm bringing this up is that, and Paul, I'm sure you can add to this, but if you've not, as William April says, had some pre-need decision-making involved, and you end up having to deal with a problem on the fly, it's a coin flip as to whether or not you come up with a good solution, right?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I think probably the first thing I would recommend is understand the legalities.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think Masayu, you know, he really stresses a lot of that. There's a bunch of guys that have kind of taken a note from Mas and really stressed that issue because it frees you up mentally.
Right.
Like, that's one less thing you have to think about. You're not sitting there going, can I do this? Can I not? Can I not? You know, and by then it's too late. So you need to know with absolute certainty whether you can make a move or not.
Okay.
And so definitely get the legal aspects under your belt. And as well as the moral issues. You know, some folks have some real issues with inflicting harm on others,
right.
You know, from whatever their background might be. So get that squared away, too, so that as much as possible, you want your mind free to solve the problem and not be sidetracked by all this other kind of monkey chatter going through your brain of, well, can I do this? Can I do this? And, you know, am I going to be doomed to hell if I take a life? That kind of thing.
Right.
You want to have everything free to just get on with the technical aspects of solving the problem. So that would be the first, probably the first thing I would recommend people focus on. That's got to be, you've got to have that under your belt. Plus, mm-hmm. It gives you, you know, coverage as far as the legal use. You know, now you have most of those courses, you know, I know Mas and there's a couple other guys. When you take their course, they now will testify on your behalf if you ever need it.
Right.
So, you know, that's important. You know, like people don't think about it until they need it. And then they're like, crap, man, you know, I need an attorney, you know.
Right.
So, it's one of those things, you know.
Well, so, and for people listening too, another good resource, or at least one that I've found to be very high quality, Andrew Branca's The Law of Self-Defense is an amazing book.
Yes. Yeah, and it covers all the states. That's
yep.
The thing. When you read his book, you get kind of an overlay of, you know, commonalities from state to state, and then you also get kind of a little differences within each state, which are important.
Right.
You know, it's extremely important.
So after legalities, what next, man? I mean, and we got about 2 minutes left in this segment, but,
sure.
Where should people go from there?
As far as selecting training
or gear, whatever. I mean, whatever you
gear?
Think is,
yeah, well, next on the, for training, I would look for a good reputable trainer, to take a class from, because here's the thing, you want somebody like, you know, like Tom Givens or some of the guys that, you know, Mas, I mentioned Mas. You want guys like that that have trained hundreds and hundreds of students. And there's a benefit to that. He's had eyes on so many people. You come underneath of his eye for instruction, you know, and he's going to be able to correct you, get you on the right path so that your first initial kind of groove – you know, neural pathway, whatever you want to call it,
right,
that first initial input into your brain is quality.
Yeah.
You know, because the worst thing for me, the hardest thing was to unlearn wrong things.
Right.
You know, I had a lot of really great instructors, and I also had a couple in there that weren't so good. And so I had to kind of override the bad. I had to unlearn the bad stuff. And there's a couple of things that come into play there. One, you kind of feel a little, you know, perturbed by the fact that you spent good money and you didn't get a good product. And then two, you spent a lot of time on it, training it diligently because you think this is a good thing to train. And then you realize it's absolute crap and now I've got to untrain it. And that's time and effort I could have been putting into something better.
Right.
So we, you know.
Well, let me interrupt, man, because we have to go to break.
Sure.
Right now we're talking with Paul Sharp. You're listening to Ballistic Radio. Welcome back to Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Daniel Defense, the country's leading manufacturer of air rifles and accessories. Daniel Defense, lighter, stronger, better. This segment brought to you by Wilson Combat. Wilson Combat, makers of the finest custom 1911s and scatterguns since 1977. Legacy of quality, innovation, and service. Learn more about their firearms and accessories at www.wilsoncombat.com. So, we were talking with Paul Sharp, and we were kind of discussing legalities and then going and finding a quality trainer. And you were bringing up, and then I had to interrupt you, how frustrating it is when you're first starting out if you learn a bad habit and then have to change it afterwards.
Right. Yeah, that is, you know, because you feel like you've wasted time.
Yeah.
You know, most folks are going to train pretty diligently. You know, you take it serious. You want to be good at this. It's a life-saving skill, so you definitely want to have it down, and then you're going to pull this time in and then find out, oh, wait, dude, you know, like, that wasn't what you should have been doing. It's kind of like, you know, I wanted to learn jiu-jitsu, and I learned ballet. Like, it doesn't even apply. So, you know, it's just one of those things. So, yeah, I think, if you can have somebody, like, get in with a good defensive shooting instructor, get that course under your belt, and then after that, I would look for an ECQC.
Yeah,
I would look for some sort of course like that where you understand the context. You also understand a lot of other things that come into play, that it's not just as simple as having a blistering fast presentation, which is important, but there's more to it than that.
Right.
So, you know, that helps. That I think that'll help as well understand gear selection, and that'll also maybe put a point or a direction on your training from that point on.
I guess let me ask you this next question, and I sort of asked it the first one, but I don't think I clarified it enough. As far as the types of, so like capabilities, if we're looking at like, you know, mission, capabilities, procedures, techniques, you know, all that stuff, what are some capabilities that a civilian concealed carrier, you know, interested in self-defense should think about having?
As far as handling?
Yeah, or anything, everything. What are some things that they should maybe be able to do or at least think about beforehand being able to do?
All right, so I would say one-handed work, mm-hmm. either a knife or a pistol. You know, that's going to be a necessity based on proximity, right? So
right.
You have your opponent on top of you. You've got to be able to get to a tool with one hand while you fend or, you know, maintain control with the other. So I would say that you need to be able to make accurate hits. Claude Werner talks about being able to, at a room distance, hit an eyeball.
Yeah.
So that's something I would demand of myself. I would want that skill and, you know, on demand. So times, you know, as far as like a, times, that's kind of hard to do because everybody's going to be different. Everybody's going to have a different starting point.
Right.
But you want to get it down as close as possible to human reaction time, right? So
yeah.
Based on his move, my move, and the time that's left is whoever wins, right, gets the most of that time left. So I would focus on that kind of stuff. And then verbal skills. So mental agility, the ability to be sociable.
Mm-hmm.
That the ability to have a conversation really pays off in a lot of ways that apply directly to self-protection and self-defense. Like if I can kind of engage this guy mentally or verbally and de-escalate, right, maybe
yeah.
I can deter him and just avoid this whole thing altogether. So,
and I, was,
that, I don't know if it...
Well, no, I was going to say that's actually a really good point. Do you think that people spend enough time on de-escalation skills?
I know I don't.
Mm-hmm.
I know, speaking for myself, and so I'm probably speaking for most of my training partners too.
Yeah.
You know, we don't spend enough time, you know, thinking about that side of it. And that's probably the most important side. You know, the avoidance, deterrence, and de-escalation thing is so important. And we, and, you know, I think, you know, when I was younger and Andy Stanford first kind of talked about that stuff, I would kind of be like, whatever,
right.
You know, cry baby, dude's afraid to get punched in the face, whatever, you know, but the reality is, you know, is that that's actually smart. You know,
yeah.
Once you get older and you've been in a few scraps, you realize there's a price to pay, you
yeah.
know, and even if you're the winner, you still pay a price, you know, on a lot of levels. So, you know, then it kind of, you swing back to maybe that guy was a lot, you know, the old saying about my parents got a lot smarter as I got older.
Yeah.
And that's one of those things, like Andy got a lot smarter as I got older. And I realized that, man, I need to spend a lot more time focusing on how do I talk to people? What is the value of certain words and certain phrases? And like you said, you know, you were talking about different parts of the country or different backgrounds where people come from. And that applies culturally too, right?
Yeah.
So a guy from, you know, Pittsburgh might take something that I say totally different than a guy from New Orleans.
Yeah.
And so learning to quickly adapt to my surroundings and just, and that, you know, you can learn that simple skill. I learned this from a guy who did a lot of undercover stuff when I was trying to do undercover work. He said, look, wherever you travel, spark up conversations with people, locals in the area before you go to work. Because that way you kind of adapt to their kind of their phrases, their terminology, their local things that they say that are have different meanings to them than might be to me, you know, living and working around the Chicagoland area.
Right.
And so that's I think you have a good that's a good question, a good point. Do we do enough in that area? Do we focus on that enough? And for me, I have to say no, I don't.
Well,
unfortunately.
Well, you know? And to give credit where credit's due, this is actually something that I was thinking about the last couple of days because Melody Lauer and I, who teach together, works for the show as well, and we're good friends. But we were talking about the differences between how she mucks and I muck. For those that don't know, muck is an acronym for managing unknown contacts. And that's from Craig Douglas at ShivWorks, but. She's like, yeah, you do it a lot different than I do because you're not very friendly. And I'm like, huh. And I don't know why I'd never thought of it that way. And it's not that I can't be a nice guy or whatever, but like naturally I'm not going out and striking up conversations with people. So like the way I do things is completely different than the way she does things. And then it was like, well, do I spend enough time working on this at all? You know?
Right. Yeah, that's a good question that we should all be asking ourselves, you know. I talked to Craig about that one time, and I'm going to be linking up with him in a couple of weeks for a class in Tennessee and then one in Alabama. And I learn something every time I help him because I watch how people muck. I watch how people interact and how they talk and
yeah.
what they think is an acceptable way to address aggression. You know,
right.
sometimes it makes it worse and sometimes it, you know, smooths it over and stuff. And we were talking about it one time, and some of the best people are people that come from a service industry background.
Yeah.
You know, so you like your bartenders or servers or whatever it might be, salesmen, those guys know how to quickly speak your language.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's something to that, man. Like, even if you have to sign up for like a Toastmasters or join a local Toastmasters for a couple of months where you're required to give a speech and interact and talk to people and that kind of thing, I think it helps you get over the jitters
yeah.
of talking to people you don't know. And that's a big part of coming off as if, hey, I'm not going to be punked by you, but I'm also not trying to punk you either.
Right.
Like, we can both walk away from this exchange with our dignity, right?
Yeah.
So, and that's a big part of mucking people. You know, is they get to leave thinking they win, and you get to leave thinking you won, and it's all good. Nobody and no physical altercation happened, and that's a challenge, man.
When it's, you know, and I don't remember who said this originally, and I apologize for not attributing the quote, but you win 100% of the fights you're never in.
Yeah, that's William.
Yeah, yeah. There. Thank you. I talked to so many people at this point. It's like, oh God, who said what? They all just mesh together.
Yeah, he teaches that in the Unthinkable course, where he talks about the ability to disengage and walk away, that you're going to win 100% of the fights that you don't get into.
Right.
So
let me ask you this. How important do you think it is to have a really solid understanding of your own, temperament and personality when you start looking at training priorities or training in general, or like looking at training? It's like, oh, you know, how important is it, I guess, to really know yourself, for lack of a better word?
Yeah, I think, again, it's like one of those chicken and egg things.
Right.
Because I think you learn a lot about yourself by going through training, by being put into situations in training. And I think that for me, the most important lessons I've learned have been when I forced myself to do training I didn't want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just wasn't interested. Like, man, I am not interested in putting that fist helmet on. I'm not interested in, you know, rolling around in a gi. I'm not interested in getting punched in the face. But I've got to do it, you know, and so you force yourself to do it. And it's one of those things where you come out of it going, I really needed to do that. Like, this was the most important thing, you know, for me to do at this point in my training evolution, was to go through whatever that experience was.
Yeah.
So I think, that's a good question, man. And something I haven't thought about enough, which is, you know, a person's personality or temperament and their training evolution. And I think a lot of it is, it's kind of like the iron sharpens iron type thing, where the more you put yourself in those situations, the better of a person you become. You know, just like the more you are around situations where lethal force is used or force is used on someone, the less you want to be around those situations. You know, the more you want to avoid or de-escalate those situations because you see the aftermath.
Right.
And so I think, and as far as your training and temperament, I think a lot of times we've got to do the thing that sucks.
Mm-hmm.
We just, there's no choice. There's no way around it. Like, I don't want to get shot with Sims, but I need to do it. You know, I need to understand my reaction and control my emotions and make good decisions under that pressure of a training environment that's chaotic. And just like, you know, again, like going back to your class, you know, I need to be, you know, one part of me is like, well, I'm just going to hang out and see John and Melody, you know, and catch up.
What?
And then the other part of me is like, well, I need to do the class, you know, just to do the class to see what it's about. But then the other side of me is
well,
like,
hold that thought. Hold that thought, because we got to go to break. We're talking with Paul Sharp right now. You're listening to Ballistic Radio. Welcome back to Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Daniel Defense, the country's leading manufacturer of air rifles and accessories. Daniel Defense, lighter, stronger, better. This segment brought to you by Surefire. Know your target and what is beyond it. But how can you really know your target? By shining a really bright light at it. And that's where Surefire comes in. From the USB rechargeable 300 lumen sidekick, the 500 lumen X300 Ultra or M600 Scout Light, Surefire can make sure you never have to yell Aziz Light ever again. Doesn't matter if you're shining light a potential threat or just helping your friends see through their eyelids. When you need all the lumens for longer, you need Surefire. Now is a special offer to Ballistic Radio listeners. You can get 30% off every single product at the Surefire.com web store, except for suppressors and batteries, by entering the discount code ALLTHELUMENS. That is ALLTHELUMENS. No space at Surefire.com. So we're talking with Paul Sharp. And Paul, I'm sorry I interrupted you because you were talking about me, and that's always awesome. No, but you were saying, as far as, you know, making yourself come out to the class that you sat through, I made you sit through last weekend that we taught.
Right. Yeah. Just, you know, there's an aspect of your pride, right? Like, everybody has pride, and like, there's a saying in the Bible, you know, pride comes before a fall. And in police work, we talk about, especially detectives, right, major investigation stuff, a lot of times guys will talk about how it's not that, they're stupid or that they whatever, it's just that they become arrogant because they believe they can't be caught, and that's what sets them up to get caught, right? So as a practitioner first, right, and then somewhere down the line I'm an instructor, but practitioner first, you have a degree of pride in your ability to execute. And so whenever you go to a class, there's always that kind of kicking you in the butt, like, I want to do well. I want to do well, you know, and we lose sight of the fact that, no, I'm here to learn well.
right.
not do well. You know, I can figure out how to do well later. And so, you know, when we're doing the part, you know, I don't know, I don't want to give away your material, man, but there's a part in there where you shoot with the, you solve the problem of having a child in your arms, right? I mean,
right.
it's pretty ambiguous, you know.
Yeah.
But I can say that. And there was a part in there where I'm like, I can do it better if I do it this way. I mean, faster if I do it this way. Like, this will
yeah.
get me back to my comfort zone much better. And then you said, hey, dude, do it this way. Or Melody, I think both of you guys at some point corrected me.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, dude, do it this way, because this is how we have found to work better when there's an actual child and you're not just dealing with, you know, sand. And
yeah.
so, you know, it's just stuff like that. And then I realized, like, hey, man, this is what I need to work on. Rather than what I already know how to do, I need to work on what I don't know how to do and understand the ins and outs of it. And so doing that for a minute, I think those are the kind of things that should drive us, right? Those are the kind of things that are where we should be looking at, okay, what do I do next? Okay, well, it's usually the thing I shouldn't or I don't want to do. Like, I'm resistive to it, especially if it's ego that's resisting it. Then that's probably what I should do.
Right.
You know, like, I should probably unplug my ego for a second, dude. Put that thing in check so I can actually get better at this stuff, you know?
Well, and that's...
It's not easy.
Yeah. I mean, and that's something that I have certainly struggled with, you know, because I'm very, very lucky in that I get to go and attend more training than most people do. And I'm extremely blessed... and I hate using that word, but it's true that I get to go and train places that a lot of civilians don't get to go train. You know, either
sure.
I get invited to a law enforcement only class or a MIL class or whatever. So I get to see a bunch of different worlds. And the funny thing is that, you know, there's always that, you know, especially when I first started, it's like, oh, I want to be the best one at the class. And it's like, no, that's the wrong mindset going in. I want to learn the most. I want to be the student
yeah.
that learns the most at the class, you know. And that was something
yeah.
that took a lot of failure before I figured
yeah.
that one out, you know.
Yeah, for sure, man. It takes a while. And, you know, one of the things – I talked about this with Paul Gomez one time at the Mid-Atlantic Training Conference in 2010. And he said, you know, the hardest part is – to unplug what we do and plug in what they want us to do. So when you take the class, actually take the class. You know, a lot of people will go to a class, and I'm guilty of this, man. I'll go to a class, and I want to do well. And especially if somebody there knows me, like I have friends there or whatever, it's like, hey, man, I want to be, like, in the top three,
right.
you know, at the end of the class or something like that. And if there's a point, right, where I know I can be in the top three if I do things the way I always do them.
Yep.
And I'll execute well, or I can continue to do the things the way they're asking me to do them, and I'm not going to do as well, but I might learn something new. And that's the whole point of the class, you know? So learning to be a good student, you know, coming back to what we were talking about before, learning to be a good student is probably as important, if not most important, and somebody who's beginning this walk or this evolution, right, is
right.
learn how to be a good student, man. And that's like a daily struggle for me, to be honest. I'll tell you, man, you know, I've trained with, you know, like you have had, I've been fortunate to train with a lot of different people in a lot of different worlds, for lack of a better term, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've trained with, like, Rob Pincus, and I've trained with Tom Gibbons, who are kind of polar opposites in a lot
yes.
of things.
Yes,
and,
they are.
Yeah, you know, and that's not a negative.
No,
not
at all.
How it is, you know. And you know, when you train with Rob, he has certain ways he wants things done. And it's hard for me to go, yeah, but I know how to do this better if I just do
right.
it how I've always done it.
Right.
And, but, you know, but then there's the other side, which is, okay, man, be a good student.
Mm-hmm.
Unplug, you know, and just absorb everything he's asking you to absorb and give it a righteous shot. Give it a good
yeah.
try. And the same thing with Tom. You know, you go in with Tom, and he has certain ways he wants you to do things. And, you know, for instance, like racking the slide, right? Like
yeah.
you seat the mag and come over the top and rack the slide, you know. And Tom has a very efficient way and very fast, you know, and it works every time. It's consistent. And yet I know I put a lot of training in just hitting the slide release
right.
or slide lock, whatever you want to call it. You know, I don't want to get caught up in that semantics argument.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, you know what I'm talking about. So,
no, definitely.
You know, I know I'm faster if I do it that way, but here I am in Tom's class trying to learn Tom's way of doing things, you know? And so let me give it a righteous shot, man, and do it his way. And, you know, but you always have that little ego kicking you in the butt, you know, in the back of your head going, okay, now we're shooting for time. We're shooting for, you know, honorable mention in this class. Well, maybe I should just do it my way. And that becomes
that
serve my purpose.
Well, that's an interesting point, though. And then we only got a couple minutes left. I want you to be able to talk about what you've got coming up. But at what point does it become, I mean, at a certain point, it almost becomes possible to change certain aspects of what you're doing if they are also effective, if you've trained them too much, or not too much, but like you've trained to the point where it's like, you know, like it's really hard for me to change certain things about how I do things, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I did, speaking of Tom's class, I was in one of Tom's classes with a guy who's a master class shooter production and GM class limited, and we were partnered up. You know, we were shooting together. You know how Tom does his class. And so we were coaching each other through the class, and we talked about that, where it's like, man, I've got so many reps on this that in order for me to do it the way they want us to do it, I've got to, like, stop.
Yeah.
You know, and go, oh, okay, wait, let me talk my way through this so I can actually give it a real chance to see whether I like it or not before I decide, hey, I'm just going to discard this outright.
Right.
You know, it's like, well, maybe I should have some, especially as an instructor. If a guy's going to be an instructor, you got to have multiple options, right?
Yeah.
Because you're going to have people with different limitations and stuff. So in order for me to absorb this technique and really make it part of who I am and be able to be authentic when I teach it, I got to understand it. So
right.
I got to give it a shot, you know?
Let me ask you this, dude, because we're coming up on the end of the show. If people want to find out more about you, take a class with you, read your stuff, where can they find you at?
Okay, so the easiest place to find me is on Facebook. Sharp Defense is the page where I post training-related stuff. I post stuff on Instagram, Paul Sharp, SBG.
Yep.
And they can find me there. And then sharpdefense.me is the blog website. There's also Straight Plus Gym Illinois is a website for mixed martial arts and Brazilian jiu-jitsu type stuff. But that's where I post most of my stuff, so they can find me there if you the social media stuff, and there's usually something on there. And then also the ShivWorks Facebook page, Craig posts stuff for me on there as well sometimes.
Perfect. So, Paul, I really appreciate you taking time out of your night, man. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you, man.
All right.
Thanks, brother.
Yeah, be safe, brother. I love you, man.
Yeah, love you too, brother.
See you. Bye. So, make sure you check out our website, BallisticRadio.com. Like our Facebook page at Facebook.com/BallisticRadio. And hey, keep leaving those 5-star review on iTunes. We really appreciate it. Hey, and guess what? Since we've already recorded shows, I already know who's coming on. So we've got Cecil Birch next weekend and Ernest Langdon the weekend after that. So check those shows out. Hey, thanks for listening, everyone. As always, be safe. See you next week.